All right. It is December 16th, 2016. The meeting is called to order of the KPFA LSB, and we're going to be in order. Brother Walensky and Carol is going to take roll.
KPFA LSB meeting, December 16th, 2017. Adams, Sharon, she called in to say she would be late a few minutes. Ahmad Anderson, absent. Campisi William.
He's absent.
Did he notify you?
He notified me.
Excused. Chris Corey.
Here.
Chris Corey present. Crowell Bryan. Okay, absent. Excused. Lisa Detmer. Sharon Adams just arrived. Present. Sharon?
Present.
Lisa Detmer, excused. Anthony Fest, present. Sasha Futran, excused. Yuri Gottsman, excused. Christina Huggins. Sabrina Jacobs called to say she would be late. Janet Coburn, present. Janet Coburn. Tim Lynch. Tim Lynch present. Scott Olson. Scott Olson on electronically. TM Scruggs. TM Scruggs present. Aki Tanaka. Aki Tanaka present. Carol Travis. Carol Travis present. Andrea Turner. On her way. Tom Voorhees.
Here.
Tom Voorhees present. Carol Wolfley present. Richard Walensky. I'll put PH. Quincy McCoy, excused. Marilla Arguelles.
Present.
Marilla Arguelles present. Ramses Tion Nichols, excused. Steve Zeltzer.
Here.
Steve Zeltzer here. Anyone else on remote, Carol?
No.
Okay, so it's only Scott? Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. We have a quorum.
All right, can I have a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
All right. Is there a second? You've got to use the microphone. Can somebody pass the microphone down here?
Before we move on from the attendance, Ahmad Anderson, I just want to make sure that he's also excused, given that he's absent for family reasons, as far as we know. Is everybody excused? I heard some people were excused and some people...
We made a special rule that if people don't notify us, that and three times in a row they don't notify us, they're off the board because they're simply not available. And there was quite a discussion when we did that because there are some people who mean well but just are not available.
Well, given that we know Ahmad has serious family matters going on, I move that we excuse his absence.
All right. Is there a second? Okay.
No, not a second.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, there's a second.
To
excuse Ahmad Anderson, even though he didn't call in because he And I don't know if actually that's an order because we made a rule. Well, anyway, I'll take the vote. I'm going to take the vote. I'm not going to get into a P&B thing where we go down a trail, you know. Anyway, the issue is, I'll call on you both in a minute, okay? The issue is that Ahmad Anderson's partner has very serious health problems, and he's been caretaking. And she's going through serious treatment. So the question is, on that basis, there's been a motion and a second to give him an excused absence. And if people want to speak on that, Tom wants to speak on it, and Janet wants to speak on it, and Carol wants to speak on it.
I have a point of order.
Yeah.
So actually, excused absences, all of them are supposed to be approved by the whole LSB, all of them. So not just Ahmed's. So that's
Tom.
Yes, I'd like to add a motion to oppose voluntary bankruptcy to the agenda.
Okay. Well, that's another moment in time, but I'll get it. Okay. Where we are is where we've skipped back to the roll call, and that's what we're discussing right now. Are you speaking on the roll call, Steve?
Yeah, I have a question. This rule... Has everyone gotten a copy of the rule? Is everyone aware of it? Was it sent out to all the board members?
It was. Okay, his wife has been quite ill for
some
time.
Yeah, I understand that, but I'm okay.
Yes. Yeah,
that's the question.
Yes, okay. Anthony.
Just as a point of information, I'm pretty sure it's in the bylaws that three consecutive unexcused absences means you're off the board. Whether or not the board so moves.
It is. But this is.
So the other question I have then is he had two other unexcused absences?
No. Okay. So
point of information.
Wait a minute. I am controlling this. Okay. You're withdrawing your motion. Okay, it's
point
withdrawn.
Point of information.
All right. Is this on the withdrawn thing? Or?
No, it's on the roll call.
Okay. Go ahead.
So I don't remember, was Quincy's name called?
Yes.
Okay.
All right. So yes, and we have rules now that you are excused automatically if you notify. And so those are the people who were listed as excused. So that's where we are. All right. And Sabrina Jacobs has arrived. All right. We're on the agenda, and there's a motion and a second, and Tom has added he wants to put in a motion to oppose bankruptcy. And can you write the language to that, and where do you want it in the agenda?
Yeah.
Here it is. Here it is. Okay, got it.
People have been copied on it.
Okay. All right. And I think that will come up. Do we have an executive session? No. Okay. I think that will come up under P&B reports and discussion. Why don't we notice that it will be in that moment? And so any other additions or changes to the agenda?
Question.
Yes.
There is under item 10, P&B, proposed bylaws amendments. Is there an intention to vote on those?
Yes.
Okay, so the LSB, this is a point of order actually now. The LSB can't vote on the proposed bylaws amendments because the PNB has not yet voted on them. Delegates cannot vote on them until the PNB has voted on them. This is per bylaws, Article 17, Section 1B2I, in which it says, quote, in order for new bylaws to be adopted or these bylaws amended or repealed and subject to Section 1B3 below. And this is below. I accept, as provided in Section 1B3 below, the proposed amendments must be approved by the majority of all directors on the board and by the majority vote of all delegates of at least three of the foundation radio stations. The delegates shall vote on the proposed amendments within the 60-day period beginning with the voting date of the PNB. And the PNB has not voted yet. I mean, we can discuss them, but not vote on them. That's
thank you. Fabulous. Thank you. Okay. So we'll put Tom's in place there. Your motion for opposing bankruptcy.
Instead of the bylaw stuff.
So that is the agenda. Oh, Carol.
We're not talking about the bylaw? We are. Is there a? I'm not sure. Are we removing bylaw discussion from the agenda?
Yes. Okay, Aki, you have to use a mic.
This is just a point about what Janet said about the boarding timeline. Now, the bylaw does say that the way that the PNB set the timeline is that they agree that the boarding of the PNB shall begin on November 30th, and they give us 60 days for the delegates to vote. Now, the question becomes that PNB, as you know, is dysfunctional. So even though we scheduled a vote for them to be on November 30th, if we wait for them to vote, it could possibly be January 30th, in which case the way you interpret it would be then the delegates will have 6 days after that. So it becomes a little complicated on the precise wording of how to interpret the bylaws.
I'm going to rule that Janet's interpretation is correct. Okay, thank you. Sharon, are you talking on the agenda? Give Sharon a mic. Watch the water.
I have a question. Looking at number 10, I have two questions. Number 10, old business, motion to urge GM to rescind changes to 5 to 9 a.m. programming, ruled out of order by chair, challenge to chair failed for lack of votes. So why is that?
What are you talking about on the agenda?
Oh.
Or are you talking about the minutes?
Withdrawn.
Thank you very much. Okay. 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 All right. All right. We'll get there. All right. So, can I have all in favor of approving the agenda as amended, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any oppositions? Any, what do you call it, Janet? Abstentions? Okay, passes. Okay. Approval of minutes. Now, can I have a motion to accept the minutes as written?
So moved.
So moved. Is there a second? Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. On discussion, Janet.
Okay, for item 8, there's something in parentheses, unofficial, non-certified. That was not part of the motion, so that's like an editorial. I move that parenthetical phrase be removed.
That's why it's in parentheses.
It's inappropriate for to be in the minutes.
Okay. All right, fine. All right, fine. Is there any objection to that? Seeing none, fine. Any other issues on the minutes? Okay. All in favor of the minutes as amended, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Abstentions? Motion carries. Okay. We are now. Announcements. Announcements. Announcements, announcements, announcements. Done. Public comments. Please come up and tell us your name, and you've got 3 minutes. What is that? Yes, please give our guest a microphone.
Okay.
And we would like to know who you are. Thank you.
Well, hello, everyone. My name is Grace Alcantar, and I am a local host here at Berkeley Community Media and a producer. I have a show that features public affairs here in the Bay Area, and I mainly deal with what I call the four P's of the Bay Area: philanthropy, people, places, and politics. And so I'm here today because I want to see how I can also maybe collaborate with KPFA on expanding the show. And also, there's other shows that producers also produce at Berkeley Community Media that would definitely, I think, be important to the station because they, too, also deal with education, the arts, public affairs, as well as community empowerment. With my show, I really try to deal with nonprofits and kind of just give them that promotional time so people know what they're about. And the other thing is that I really believe this is like the only station that I know about that gives people like myself, you know, that opportunity to just talk about what it's like to be a minority, to talk about what it's like to, you know, experience, just to have different types of experiences that people may not know about. So I really want to just bring that into the station if I can. And the other thing, too, is that I realized that, which you'll hear about later from the report on CAB, is that people want to hear more about mental health, and they also want to hear more about animal rights. And I know it's something that is touched upon but may not be on the air as much. And so I really think that that's some important topics, as well as featuring stories about the disabled. We hear often about what minorities go through, what blacks go through, what Asian Americans experience. But we don't hear too much about what the disabled community experiences are like. So I think that's an important thing to touch upon, too, to give them the space to talk about what it's like for them to be an individual in society and how there's still services that, you know, like I have a friend who's visually impaired and not everything's in Braille. So he has a hard time sometimes just, you know, navigating the world around him, you know, and people are not always available to assist him. Crossing the street's very difficult. There's not always those lights that, you know, have that sound to notify him that it's safe to cross. So just being a friend with him, I realized, wow, this is something that could get on the air. You know, this is something that people need to know about, and it's definitely a social issue for the disabled. Mental health is another issue that I think is very important. I think with mental health, people tend to think that it's just people that have like schizophrenia or something more severe, but there's so many cases of depression, anxiety, and just people need to know that it's not just like getting counseling, but there's holistic approaches. And a lot of times those services are free in the Bay Area, and those services also need that space to, you know, promote themselves and come out and let people know that they exist so that people can get the help. So.
Thank you very much. Yes. You're up time. By the way, mm-hmm. there is a disabled program.
Oh, there is? Yeah. Okay.
Pushing Limits.
Okay.
Could I ask you a quick question?
Yes.
What is your platform? I mean, you said the media. Are you on radio or are you?
So I'm producing a TV show, but I really would like to go into radio. TV shows are way more expensive to produce, and being that we just don't have the funds to produce it, you
okay.
know, and yeah.
Richard, so. You have to get the microphone.
I'm sorry.
Couple of quick questions. The first is, have you approached KPFA's management about partnering?
I have not.
Okay, that would be the very, very first step, is approach Quincy and Laura.
Okay.
In terms of the specifics that you're talking about, we do have programs that have dealt with this.
Okay.
Disabled, for example. I think that there should be more actually on hearing issues, which I have, but I've done programs on that.
Oh, got it.
Okay, but in terms of that, there is something that I think we haven't done that comes in to the technology issue that that's coming up, which is linkage to these various services on the KPFA website. And if we can get that going, I'm an administrator, and once you speak with Quincy and Laura, suggest some of this stuff, you know, I can come in and help work with you.
His name is Richard Walensky.
Oh, Richard Walensky.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. All right. All right. No, you keep the mic.
Huh?
You keep the mic.
I keep the mic.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Virginia. We're doing 3 minutes, and so
thank you very much.
Thank you very much for coming and the points you made. Okay.
Okay, hi. So I got alerted that the PNB voted for bankruptcy over a loan for the network. And so that's not true? Okay, well, screw it anyway. I'll just say what I was going to say. Because the thing about me is I sometimes think like one out of every 10 times that I've spoken over the years, I probably sounded succinct and brilliant. But most of the time, that public speaking is not my thing. And yet I put myself out into the public because I think some idea of having the listeners involved in this radio station is a good idea, even though I agree that the way this election system of representatives has been set up hasn't worked the way they wanted it to. But I think there could have been a way that it would have worked. So let's say I'm going with the pretense that they did vote for bankruptcy, even though you say they didn't. But I just want to say what I would have said, because they're going to have to do something. So voluntary bankruptcy, as I understand it, means that there's more control than if they wait and have the things dissolved for them, which is not to say that I'm speaking for voluntary bankruptcy. What I wanted to do was just give my little end of Pacifica rant to say that I don't appreciate how out of all these years that people like me and Anthony and Janet and Tom and Marilla and so many of you guys worked, and Augie, worked so hard to make these elections work. We were working uphill in a system that was designed to not work. And I see somebody shaking their head, and I think I'm supposed to not give names, but believe me, the organization that has been in the forefront of standing in to oppose any kind of fair election has been the organization that some of you have been stalwart supporters of. So the paid staff could have been put on a sort of suspension of some kind if there'd been enough lead time. Yes, I know the unions will hate that. But what's the alternative? The dissolving of the only network in the country that could have been an independent media network of this kind. So it's too late now. It's too late now. The unions are already screwed, but at least if you get 20 people, I guess that's all you need, right? So I know, see, this is an example of how come I shouldn't speak, because it's like a non sequitur to most people. But I just hate the way certain stars of the air over these years, because they are good speakers, instead of training other people to do radio, they've taken it as their little personal purview, and now that's what's going to happen.
Thank you for that. I think there's a lot of anger going around right now about different issues at KPFA, and thank you for speaking.
Right. That was what I was going to say. And I appreciate your passion and your caring, Virginia. Okay. The election of LSB officers for 2018. So let's have the okay. So Let's just elect the officers. Okay. So let's do them one at a time. Let's start with, let's move from the bottom up, how's that? Or should we, how what's?
It's not hierarchical.
Okay, do you know, like,
yes.
You know, like.
Yes, however
you want, Carol. Okay. Carol, I mean, secretary. Let's start with secretary. Can I have nominations? I'm losing my mind. Nominations for secretary.
Point of order? Before.
Yes.
So this is supposed to be IRV.
IRV,
instant
yes.
Runoff
yes,
voting.
Yes, yes, okay.
Just.
Tim.
I'd like to nominate Carol W. to continue as secretary if she would do so.
Moved and seconded.
I would like to nominate Sharon Adams to be co-secretary with me.
There isn't a provision for co-secretary. So I'm not accepting that. Are there any other nominations? Seeing none.
Wait.
She's elected.
Wait.
Oh, she refuses. Sorry. Yeah, go ahead.
So can I just?
Yeah, go ahead.
So we could first elect the secretary and then discuss a co-secretary. How's that?
You know, there are not provisions in the bylaws for a co-secretary, although we could make a little co-secretary thing. Let's do the election of the officers by the bylaws. Tom, did you have a nomination for someone?
Yes, Steve Zeltzer.
Steve Zeltzer. Okay. Is there a second? Okay, so it's Carol unless you want to second yourself and be secretary.
I can't second myself.
Yes, you can.
I can't second myself. If there's no other second.
Okay.
I mean, if nobody else wants to second it, that's fine. I won't be a secretary.
Okay, all right. So by acclamation, I'll sing you a Christmas carol.
Wait. I think we should
dance.
I'm not accepting the position right now.
Oh.
Okay. I'm not accepting the position, and I would like it, but I will continue to be secretary until January, and then we can bring it up again.
Go ahead.
I second Steve's nomination then.
Other officers first.
Okay. Wait a minute. Okay, now we've just gotten into a PNB mode. Moment. Just a little moment. Okay. So,
I just wanted to say that I know there were concerns on Carol's part about the amount of duties that she has in work, and I think that we should be able to have a discussion about taking some of those away from her and just her just doing the secretary job, because really she does more than the secretary job. And I wondered if would you feel more comfortable if we talked about moving some of those away and you just doing the secretary job?
I think that Sharon and I would like to have a discussion. And maybe it would be better to give us a few minutes and go on and do the other officers first and then come back to secretary and give us a few minutes to think about it.
Point of order.
Yes.
So we're in the middle of the election process for the secretary of the LSB, which involves nominations and voting. And we had one nomination for Carol, one nomination for Steve.
What we did is we elected Carol, and then she withdrew. So we're at a place now where we're away from that now, and either we can go back into it, and since I'm chair.
She declined.
After we elected her by acclamation, she said she didn't want it. And so I am going to go to treasurer.
So wait a minute. She declined. So I think now is the time to open up nominations.
I know you do. And I am cheering. And she has asked, and she has done a job of being secretary in order, a different moment. And I am ruling no. We're going to the we'll come back to this.
We'll come back to this. Okay, that's fine.
Okay. Chris. Not Chris. Sorry. Treasurer. She just said she'd accept the vote, so she's just accepted. Okay.
I'll nominate.
Treasurer.
Can I nominate Chris to continue as treasurer?
Second.
Any other nominations for treasurer? Going once, going twice, three times. Chris Corey is our treasurer. Okay. Yay.
Thank you,
Chris. Vice chair. Nominations. Nominations. Nominations for vice chair.
Second.
Any other nominations for vice chair? Going once, going twice. It's Christina Huggins. That's your ears. By acclamation. Okay. Okay. Chair.
Nominate Carol Travis.
Another nominations are still open. Steve.
I nominate TM.
TM. He declines. Any other nominations? Going once. Going twice. Sold. Okay. So the officers for 2018 are me for chair, Christina Huggins for vice chair. Chair of Vice, Carol Wolfley for Secretary, and Chris Corey for Treasurer. Once again, Carol, Chris. Mystical, right. Okay. The General Manager's Report. Quincy is broadcasting today live from the fair, from the Crafts Fair, representing us there at the Crafts Fair. And Sabrina, can you pass Sabrina the mic? I think you have his report to read.
Point of order, is he broadcasting right now?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, he is.
He's live on KPFA
right
now?
Yes, yeah.
Thank you, Madam Chair. It's the KPFA 2017 year-end GM report by Quincy McCoy. What a year. I'm pleased to report that KPFA had a successful 2017 on many levels, even though our anxiety is equally high because of Pacifica's critical financial condition and the PNB's lack of strategic action to create a healthy prognosis for the network's future. I want to thank all the LSB members who have worked so diligently this year negotiating with the PNB in good faith to move the network in a positive direction while also protecting KPFA's interests. Because of the imminent threat of a lien on KPFA's bank account, we have dispersed in advance, what is legally allowed, our payroll account to December 31st, medical benefits till February, and all of our essential bills are paid. Waiting for the axe to fall. Needless to say, this is a terrible position to be in, especially for management, when there is no plan of action to articulate from the national leadership to the staff. Yet, even under this umbrella of impending doom, I want you to know that KPFA will not embrace complacently. We will move ahead with our plans to improve the station's programming, facility, and community in 2018. We understand that we have a vital part to play in keeping KPFA and its mission alive, and we can't accomplish that waiting for the axe to fall. But before we look ahead, let's take a quick look back at 2017. Last year, after the election, we promised our listeners that we would remain vigilant and do our best to extend our platform. Research from Metropolitan Transportation Commission showed a 36% increase in Bay Area traffic between the hours of 5 a.m. and 6 a.m. since 2014. This and the discernible demand for more news and analysis of the Trump administration, it was clear we needed to provide a wider variety and more flexible programming to meet the demand and also take advantage of our competitors who are stuck replaying Morning Edition from 3 a.m. till 9 and 10 a.m. rising up to 5 a.m. following the Democracy Now! At 6 a.m. paid off with a bump of listeners into DN and an increase in donations during those early fund drive hours. Kat Brooks and Brian Edwards-Tickert expanded up front 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. And has substantially improved the 8 a.m. fund drive level, but more importantly, gives the news department added flexibility in including breaking news and offering more quests for analysis and discussion. I'm proud to say that the overall programming adjustments gives KPFA one of the strongest morning drive lineups, 5 a.m. noon, rising, DN, upfront, letters, talkies, against the grain, on Bay Area Public Radio. We wisely stepped up to meet the challenge and issues of the day. Public engagement team. The KPFA public engagement team is a melding of our subscription, programming, web development, and major donor outreach units. We created new roles and management levels to coordinate our goal to accelerate our growth. A paradigm shift in our management team job responsibilities was necessary to take advantage of certain virtues and expertise members of the team possessed. This allowed us to better focus on marketing, social media activity, grow membership, reorganize fund drive responsibilities, and improve outreach to major and new donors. Fortunately for us, we have the talent already on board with some fundamental rethinking, realignment of job responsibilities, and reporting lines. It's assisted managers confidently make good decisions and execute them. Digital strategy. We face stiff competition with the allure of thousands of stations available on everyone's phone. We must continue to improve our digital strategy that will strengthen our future programming and fundraising in the decade ahead. As we come to a close this year, we're excited to report on critical system overhauls that are ready to launch in 2018 at KPFA. New workstations, 8 machines and LED monitors have been provisioned and are being rolled in this month. These new machines use a fifth of the electricity and are more than 5 generations newer. This welcome visual and productivity refresh repairs the technological neglect. That sentence make any sense? Okay. New studio workstations. KPFA operates 4 radio stations, production, on-air, KPFB, and Studio C. In fall 2017, a team of engineers determined system upgrades were necessary and affordable. These new machines offer the latest recording and editing software and have the capacity for future expansion. These upgrades restore confidence in KPFA as well as open up the station to recording opportunities and community engagement. New donation system. 2017 has been a year of research and development. We're excited to report that the new system is nearing completion. The on-air host dashboard has been completed. It reports in real-time current show goals, marathon goals, on-air mentions, and displays a record of shows. The new system will simplify and streamline the donation process for our listeners and the fulfillment department and finance. The new system is expected to roll in January 2018 and will be ready for prime time for the next fund drive. New domain controllers. 2 new fully redundant domain controllers allow personalized logins, organize file sharing easier, quicker, and more secure access to staff files. This also allows a greater flexibility and easier migration of workstations. All these moves, both programming and technical, have been weighed and decided to be in the best interest of KPFA's bottom line if we hope to have a future as a relevant media outlet. What the future holds. We know we can't survive on fund drives alone. It's a priority of the public engagement team to come up with off-air events to increase visibility and to reach and develop new internship. Hopefully, we'll get to execute some of the following fundraising events. One of our major events scheduled for May 12, 2018 is the Cornell West Concerto featuring the Arturo O'Farrell's Afro-Latin Orchestra. That will perform a benefit concert for KPFA at the UC Theater in Berkeley. The KPFA Vigilant Awards event evening will be held late in spring. We are still deliberating on the event space, but we know we want something that can comfortably handle 200 people. Upfront Live will be a series where the morning show crew, Kat, Brian, and Mitch, do live evening events with a guest in front of a live audience. The ticket price won't be high, but we intend to use the audio and video as pledge drive premiums. Year-end fund drive. We ended the drive yesterday at about 80 grand short of our goal, yet we're very confident with the history of good past year-end drives on our side that we will make our goal and more by December 31st. For example, last year on December 31st, our online donation and year-end mail-in donations totaled over $30,000. With a total goal of $450,000 through December 31st, total raised as of 4 p.m., $356,000. Have a safe and joyful holiday season. Quincy McCoy.
Thank you, yeah. Sabrina. Here. And Sasha Futrin has arrived. Treasurer's report.
Is there a comment on this report?
Yes. So how much time do we want for comment on this report? 10 minutes? 2 minutes? I'm not saying each person, TM. I'm saying total time. 10 minutes. Andrea Turner has just arrived. Sharon. Oh, there's one. Okay. 10 minutes we'll give for this discussion total. And Steve, you get 2 minutes.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad that we're close to getting our financial pledge drive going. I have some concerns about this. First of all, one of the requirements of the manager is to meet regularly with the staff, and that has not been happening at KPFA. And there's nowhere in this report about meeting with the staff by the general manager. So I think we have to take that seriously since it's one of the requirements of the general manager. And program changes that were made by the manager were not consulted. He did not consult with the unpaid staff. May have consulted with the paid staff. He did not consult with the unpaid staff. I think that's problematic, considering the unpaid staff do most of the programming at KPFA. So that's another thing that we have to take note of. The third thing is the idea of more fundraising seems to be primarily of benefits and with the upfront benefit, and I think that's problematic. I think what we have to have is develop a multimedia platform. We have to have more live community labor programming and develop a channel, streaming channel at KPFA that could cover working class community events live, even events that are taking place two blocks from the station, like the protest against the Nazis, would have been great to have live. And those are the kind of things I think that could really add to our audience, including the most recent struggle over net neutrality. If that had been covered live at KPFA and nationally in a day of programming, that could have brought possibly millions of viewers who are looking for a fight against the attack on net neutrality. So I think we should develop a kind of a vision of events, actions that could really bring about a much greater response to the valuable programming that we can provide, which is critical to the people of this country. Thank you.
Sharon.
I just want to say something about the Crafts Fair, which is actually not the KPFA Crafts Fair. It's the Craneway Crafts Fair. And I actually emailed Quincy about that because I was like, why is it the Craneway Crafts Fair and not the KPFA Crafts Fair? And he told me that that is the official name and that, I mean, that... Well, I guess what I would like to say is that I've been hearing many, many people on the air still refer to it as the KPFA Crafts Fair, and people still think it is the KPFA Crafts Fair, and Quincy is even broadcasting from there today, and yet I hear that it's not the KPFA Crafts Fair, so I really wanted to ask Quincy about that if he had been here, because I'm somewhat confused about what the status is, and I actually really would like to know for next year what the plan is for the Crafts Fair. And it doesn't say anything about 94.1. It didn't say anything about KPFA. It just said Craneway Crafts Fair.
We get the door. Yeah. That's all I know.
We get 25,000 or some number like that.
Oh, okay.
Not the door.
Yes. Oh, okay. Richard. Could you turn on the...
Yeah, in terms of that, Jan Eitri is still working at KPFA, working on this fair. And there's something very odd about calling it the Craneway Crafts Fair when the person in charge of it is working at KPFA and has a office at KPFA. So I'm in agreement with Sharon on this. Yeah, this needs to be dealt with.
Okay.
Passing this around, please pass it on.
Okay. All right. Steve? Oh, TM and then Steve.
I just wanted to tell the LSB that contact with Quincy, and I know that the ability for him to be able to achieve these engineering upgrades may just seem like it was a matter of getting him in the door, but he had to overcome various personnel problems, and he took a, I'm getting some heads nodding across the table, to work there, and he's did a very good job of pacing himself and not crazy an uproar, but yet able to get the final results that were necessary, and so I would just like to put in the record that Quincy has been shown to be a good director of personnel, and this is also not, doesn't mean he shouldn't have staff meetings, but you know, that's one aspect that doesn't come across. He's not tooting his own horn, and it's kind of an internal thing, but I just thought everyone should be aware of what a good job he's doing in that way.
Anthony, did you have your hand up?
Yes.
And then Janet, and then I'll go back to, and Carol, I'm getting the people who haven't spoken first and then coming around to you. Yeah, go ahead, Anthony.
Yeah, I'm not 100% certain about this offhand, but as to the matter of Jan Itri's status, I had thought that she was no longer a KPFA employee, but a contractor, even though she still occupies an office at KPFA. At least that was my understanding of how things have changed, and that's been, it's been that way for a while, if I remember correctly. As to fundraising, I see where the GM report said that fundraising was up in the morning drive hours, and that may well be so, but that's only really to the good if fundraising goes up in total. If those morning drive hours went up, but that fundraising just moved from someplace else, that doesn't really accomplish anything. And I took a quick look at the numbers. Last year's December drive averaged just over 36,000 a day. This drive just concluded, averaged just under 35,000 a day, so it's actually approximately 1,300 a day less than last year, and we all know that there's a lot of unpredictability into fund drives, but anyway, this has not proven to be a gold mine as yet. Maybe it will down the road.
Janet, and then Sasha, so you can just keep passing the mic down. And then you can pass it all the way down to Steve and Marilla. Go ahead, Janet.
Right. So regarding Jan Itri having space in the KPFA building, so there was, there's been the issue of the Nakapon and P&O building possibly being sold and what would happen with the CFO and the accounting staff. Well, there would be a space. I mean, they are staff, so that's part of what KPFA space could possibly accommodate.
Carol.
Hello? Yeah, that's a very small space. I just want to say that Jan uses and would not be at all adequate to accommodate Pacifica office. I just wanted to say I think it's great that there's a public engagement team, and I hope that that could be broadened to include the outreach committee and also the CAB to really have an overall plan for using the many resources of volunteers so that this is a not only a that it really becomes a community radio station rather than just a public radio station. And I understand that it's challenging sometimes. I've been in the phone room, and, you know, sometimes it's challenging because of some of the situations that can come up, and it's challenging to have larger outreach efforts. But I think it's really worthwhile, and I think it's important to do that carefully with consciousness to set up safe and careful situations so that people are working together respectfully, and I think then it's great to involve volunteers. Thank you.
Sasha.
I just want to know what the public engagement team is. I've never heard of it before.
Well, he's not here to answer. And Marilla.
Yes, I agree.
I agree with what Carol was saying, and I'm also noticing that there's, I don't see any mention in here about the volunteers in the apprenticeship program. And I know last year it was pretty scandalous that nobody attended their graduation. And I'd like to know, except for Carol. Yeah. Okay, there were two. But Quincy was not there. He was conspicuously absent. So I think it's something that really needs to be worked on, that they feel included and not like the stepchildren. And I'm also concerned about what looks kind of like a takeover of, Kat Brooks and Brian Edgertique is moving back in, and now they're going to be doing the special events, so they're going to have the morning show, and they're going to do the fun drives. This is a lot of, it's a lot of control, and I think that needs to be spread a little more around. And I'm concerned about them saying that they're accommodating everything that was there before, because I think a lot of us still don't get up at 5 in the morning. And I really miss Sonali's program. I miss the local programs, too. And they are having speakers, but they're deciding which ones. It's not the rotation that we used to have every morning.
I'm going to speak, and then Steve, and then Sasha. And actually, the 10 minutes are up. Okay, so what? Okay, well, I'll move to extend 5 minutes. Do people agree?
Second.
All in favor, please raise your hand. Opposed? Okay. It carries. Okay. I just wanted to say, as somebody who spent most of my life in another city where there was no Pacifica station, that I think that we take for granted what we've got going here, we may feel that it could be better, and probably it could be, but it is fantastic, and it is the best performing station in the Pacifica stations that are of the five. I can't speak to what the wonders of the wonderful affiliates. But we have a great and functioning station, and I think that we ought to at least get that in our bones, that it is, and that has something to do with both Quincy and Laura and so on, which is not to discount any other remarks. I think then Steve is next, and then Sasha.
Yeah, well, first of all, I haven't seen Quincy since I've been on the board. And I find that a great concern. I mean, one day a month, the manager should come. I mean, corporatization, that's a concern I have about what's happening to KPFA. And the manager not coming to the board meeting, if he can't make it, maybe he can send another manager. There are other managers at the station that know what's going on, because there are a lot of questions that are being raised here. There's no answer. And so, lastly, I do think the card... Des mentioned KPFA for the Craneway, so it is mentioned. KPFA hasn't disappeared, but it is still mentioned as a benefit for KPFA. That's it.
And Sasha, and then maybe we'll be done.
I just had an idle thought about KPFA and the Craneway and how it was marketed this year. Maybe some people think it needs to be known as the Craneway Crafts Fair, because who knows if KPFA will be here next year. I wouldn't call it a power grab, or however you phrase that, in terms of people doing an evening fundraisers. I would say it's a good use of the talent that people actually listen to and bring money in. And I'm really tired of people on this board who frown at people who actually know what they're doing professionally.
Oof. Okay. All right. I think we have nobody else in this section. And so now we are to the treasurer's report. Chris.
All right. Before I get started, I just wanted I realized that I didn't make extra copies of the September 30th report, and I'm not sure anybody else has seen it. I don't think it's the best use of my time to discuss a report that nobody's seen. So has anybody seen the September 30th report?
Have you sent it?
Well, it was sent to me by Maria this week. So I didn't forward it on to the board because I wanted to review it first, and I didn't get the opportunity. I know.
Excuse me,
I don't.
This
I don't
is not cross it. Things, and no crosstalk here.
I
and
don't
also,
it.
Chris's house burned down in Santa Rosa.
I can speak to that concern. So the reason I'd like to review it first is I want to be able to answer any questions that come back to me if I forwarded it on, you know, and I'm not capable of responding to any questions that come up. I just don't feel, you know, it's responsible of me to do that. So the fact that I got it so late before the meeting was, in fact, my fault. I could have requested it earlier, and I might have actually even received it earlier. I still have 300 unopened emails from the period dating from October 8th till today, and it may have been one of those unopened emails. So what I'm asking is either I can make copies of this and distribute it during break if we're going to have a break today.
Oh, who knows?
Who knows? I just hate to speak to a report without anybody having the opportunity to have seen it.
Well, Sharon.
Well, maybe what we should do is have a lunch break and let Chris make copies during the lunch break, so then we could talk about the report after that. Move this till after the break.
Okay. Who wants to do it next meeting? Who wants to review it during the lunch break? After, yeah, okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Okay, now let's get the people who want to do it next meeting. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Okay, cool. We're doing it next meeting. Scott is here, but did you want to vote, Scott?
Yeah, I voted for the reviewing at this meeting.
Reviewing at this meeting, it's tied. Okay, I don't know what happens when they're tied. It's defeated, right? That the motion was that the idea was that we would do it next meeting. No, what she said is we would do it after the lunch break, and. I'll look that up over lunch, and you can get the reports done over lunch, and we'll figure out where we are there from there.
Is it possible for you to send it electronically?
I do have my laptop here.
Okay, so why don't you just send it to everyone here, and that way...
Well, not everybody here has electronics.
Yeah, at least
stuff.
You can send it to everyone so that those who have a laptop...
Okay, thank you. We got it. Okay,
that's good.
Thank you.
I'll take care of that.
Thank you. Okay. All right, now it is 12:30, and the next item on the agenda is the let's look at the agenda and see if where we are, where we want to take the lunch break, and if we want to move a couple of things up. For example, we could do the CAB report before lunch, and we could also approve the date for the next meeting, the January meeting. We could get those two things done. Okay. What do people think about that?
Yeah,
is that good? That what we do is we move up the CAB report, and we take a vote on the date of the next meeting. Then we take a lunch break. Then we come back and we do the treasurer's report, the PNB report, old business, new business.
Why can't we do the PNB report now?
Well, we can. I want to know how many people want to do the PNB report now? 1, 2, 3. Okay. How many people want to do it after lunch? Okay, after lunch goes for it. Okay, how many people would like to
allow the CAB report to happen before we have lunch. Okay. How many people would like to have lunch before the CAB report? Okay. We're having the CAB report. All right. And then we're going to vote on the meeting date, and then we're going to have lunch. Okay.
Question?
Yeah.
How much time would lunch be?
I don't know yet. It depends on... Okay, Marianne, is that... Okay, welcome, Marianne. Thank you for coming. Okay. Oh, here's a mic. Here's a mic, Marianne. Here, over there. How much time is
About 20 minutes.
Okay.
I will try and shorten it as I...
It gets passed without being on. That's a good thing. Okay. You can time if you want. So I'm going to go quickly. As it's being passed around, hi, I'm Marianne Thomas, one of the CAB members, and I'll get to the contents of the report itself in a moment, but first I want to explain why we wrote it. The CAB has focused its efforts over the last few years on producing a report that would satisfy requirements for funding from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, or CPB. Holding meetings and producing a community needs assessment are the two CAB duties explicitly outlined in CPB regulations. We have done this faithfully and to the best of our ability using surveys, which this year were mostly electronic. It's a lot of work. I say that not to complain, but to get your opinion about whether it's best to use our time in this political climate and at this time fiscally, we honestly not sure. Like you, we meet monthly, and like you, we work between meetings with a big push at the end of the year to write, edit, and produce this community needs assessment. It represents 700 person hours of work and meetings. Does it tell you anything you don't already know? Is it useful? If not, we want to know and we want to strategize with you how better to support the station and the network. Maybe it's a different report, maybe it's a different method, or maybe it's not even a report but a different activity altogether. So in addition to giving you a brief overview of this year's report, my purpose in being here today is to tell you that we on the CAB look forward to 2018 and we are aware of the challenging fiscal times the Pacifica Network is in, and we want to check in with you, the LSB, and with Quincy and other station management to make sure you think this is the right thing for us to spend our time doing. And if not, we want to hear what you think would be smarter. We know the station has not received CPB funding for a few years now and do not expect that we will receive it anytime soon. We suspect you are already aware of much of the feedback our report contains, so maybe there is something better for us to do. We don't expect you to discuss it today, but I am officially requesting each one of you and every one of you to ask yourself this. What can the CAB do that will most benefit the station and that will continue to dot, and whether that's continuing to dot our I's and T's in the hopes that someday we will be eligible for CPB funding or focus more on outreach or something else. So how can the CAB best partner, ally, and support the station in 2018 through you as the LSB and the station manager and in other ways? That's a question. And how and when can we talk about it? We are willing to come to another LSB meeting to meet at the station or would welcome any of you to visit our meetings, usually 4 Saturdays from 11 to 1 at the Grassroots House to start this conversation. So I'm going to start now and kind of review the report itself. I'll revisit that at the end and how I'm going to spend the moment with walking you through the structure of the report. Got the report. So please flip through it with me. First of all, we would like to thank the people who helped us acknowledge, helped us with the report on the second page. Carol Wolfley, Quincy McCoy, Laura Privis, Mike Biggs, Sabrina Jacobs, Margaret Newgret, Maria Newgret, sorry about that. Negret. I regret mispronouncing it. Grassroots House and Miguel Guerrero. I think I got that right.
I'm sorry.
First of all, we'd like to thank the people who helped us did that. Okay. Not finished yet.
I'm sorry. Are you going to say the names of the people on the cab? Did you?
Oh, would you like the names of the people on the cab? Considering
into the record.
We got a nice picture there. So you, the people are Leftergreit, Craig Dunkerley, Rich Stone, who's here today helping. Thank you. Karen Nyehouse, Robin House, Collins, and Marianne Thomas. So those are the five members. If I wouldn't lose my place, I would explain that we are a very diverse group in that we are diversified female and male, and we are from all around the Bay, but we are not diversified by ethnic ethnicity, and we would really like more ethnicity on our cab. So if we are always recruiting for cab members, and if you could please direct people to the cab, whomever they are, we would love to expand it to a larger number. Five is not a set number, and it's actually very small. So diversity, 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 youth, you know, anything that can help. So table of contents, the electronic copy that was sent to you, if anybody didn't receive it, please let me know. You can click on the table of contents to go to any section that particularly interests you. In the appendix, we have the actual electronic questionnaire that was used, so you can actually see the way the electronic version is. And if we do the same thing next year, we ask you please to fill it out yourselves. One of the first things on the report is a graph showing how we improved the responses to the report as soon as it got mentioned on air. And so it is extremely essential that it get mentioned. So this gives you a graph of how the responses came in over time. We have an executive summary that we ask you, I mean, you might really find useful to read the executive summary. I am going to add to my little thing now that I'm off. I can't read anymore. Additional cab recommendations. We had a visitor today mentioning about needing more information about various, well, my brain goes blank trying to be extemporaneous. But one of the things we noticed from the reviewing the data is that a lot of people asked for things that KPFA is already doing. So what it is they're not aware of those programs. So if more carts were produced during the high volume times to say, we have this show at this time that covers this information, and it could be very, very useful to get people listening to some of the less listened to portions of KPFA, which is so essential. So question number one is, how do you listen to KPFA? And again, this is just kind of a, not a surprise. Car radio was top, home radio was second, online was third. What we need to do, as you all know, is to expand the podcast archive use. And I think that this kind of gives us a baseline. If we do the report again next year the same way, we can see if there's been any major change. Next, thanks to Carol, this graph shows the actual listening, number of people listening at each hour of the day. I'm not sure how it's broken down exactly, but it shows the peak times. We've got a little blurb about what's being listened to over that time, since there was kind of discussion about that. And of course, it shows what most of us know, is that the peak hours are the morning and the evening. But this next chart, which is from SurveyMonkey itself on page 9, is very informative. It says, what programs did you actually listen to? And it shows the top ones and the hour at which it was listened to. So, for example, the top was Democracy Now, and it was the 9 o'clock. So that goes through to the second page, showing a small listening audience for some of the other programs, which are, they are off-peak. So it is not a surprise. And also, if you look at the survey, just an FYI, we want to note that there's a tendency to mark the ones at the beginning of the thing as versus the ones at the end. And we did not do an analysis of how that might have affected the responses. So anyone who's interested in data, you can do that. Okay, question 3, what topics or resources do you want to hear about on KPFA? Little explanation of what we thought the data showed, and a lot of things said today. This will help reinforce some of it. Having gone through the raw data, anyone who's interested in really understanding what the community is thinking might look at the raw data, and you can really see some thoughts. That people took time to actually write responses. Question number 4, how can KPFA better support the social movements, culture, and activism you care about? Again, we got 77% on that, and get more input from youth, et cetera. I'm kind of cutting down. I know you guys can read, and so. Any questions anyone has, please just shout out and give me a question. You have to shout, too, because I'm not looking at you. Question 5, what suggestions do you have about KPFA's public affairs and news programs? Like the first mentioned is less rip and read from wire services, less repetition of mainstream media news stories, the tone and integrity. The respondents were, this was a very positive feedback. I mean, there was some negative stuff, of course, in it, and some capital letter responses, but not too many, and a lot of really good support. But, of course, anybody who's going to answer a questionnaire basically is listening. differing opinions of various show hosts, a request for more Spanish, a request for less Spanish, Question 6, what suggestions do you have about KPFA's cultural and music programs? Again, more music, less music. But one of the things is, I'm trying to pick it out, need music that will bring in younger people. Try and figure out how to do that. There was a request, I'm trying to remember, I have it written in my notes, I think. Question 6. More world music and more classical music was a request. So people really did like the world music. Question 7. This is one I thought was really important. I'm hoping I have the paper. Yeah, I do. Please list contact information for individuals and organizations that you would like KPFA Community Advisory Board and staff to connect with. Now, we're going to need to follow up with that statement next year because we got a lot of responses to that. 118 people took the time to actually answer that. They were given an option of 1 to 4 responses, and many people gave us 4 different responses to that. There's some very specific, specifically identified information in this raw data. We mention it just briefly here in the main report, but anyone who has a show and really wants to see some additional resources, there's some real resources here. There's phone numbers, there's websites. So this part of the report, I think, is really critical for people to go to and look at on the website. Well, no, not on the website. On the electronic copy, you can go to that section. It's 91 pages long, the report. So there's a lot of raw data there to go through if you want to go through it. Like I said, having gone through it, it has some very interesting and gives you a real sense of what the some of the audience is like. Question 8, please indicate your city and state. And 263 responded, and 22 were out of state, and 2 were out of country, Mexico and Canada. We also get that information from the fundraising. We can tell that we're getting broad. Again, if we do the report again next year in the same manner, we could see any change that was going on. If that's useful. And we are, I think, broadening our appeal as, you know, people are listening more and more online. And if we could spread the existence of KPFA to a broader audience. Okay. Back to the written. We are delivering this in 2 forms, the paper copy you've got in your hand and the electronic, page 5, lost my notes. Back to the question of what we should do in 2018. This year our method was different from last year. We did not hold any public meetings nor form task forces on particular subjects like we did last year. This year, like previous year, CAB members attended public events and meetings to do outreach, both for the station and specifically to promote our survey. These events and meetings are listed on page 15. We CAB members are all activists of various stripes, and right now we cover the whole Bay Area, as I mentioned earlier. We want to use the... Our membership is from We have someone from the South Bay, East Bay, North Bay, and San Francisco. So with five members, we managed to cover a very broad. One of the reasons we're not all here today is we have Petaluma and et cetera, and it's quite a trek to come down. So we're busy people. So please read this report, not only for the content from the listeners, but also the question of whether this is a useful way for the CAB to spend our time. And if not, how could we be more effective in helping the station and the network? Because we are very aware of being an all-white CAB, we want to reiterate that we are always recruiting and open to suggestions you might have for future CAB members. Right now, we are only five people, and two of us will complete our terms next spring. The CAB wants us to have, the CPB wants us to have a CAB that is representative of the community in the Bay Area, and that certainly means more people of color. So we urge you to think about that as well. If you can direct anyone more diverse than we currently are, which is not terribly hard, we would appreciate it. You can find our information on the CAB page on the kpfa.org. You can email us at cab.kpfa@gmail.com. Who can we talk to set up a meeting to hear your thoughts on that question? Would you like us to come back or meet at the station? Who's interested? Any questions or statements?
And does Rich want to add anything or no? Okay. Thank you. That was terrific. Obviously such a lot of work. And okay, there's a lot of people who want to speak. I'm taking a stack. I got Anthony, Janet, Steve, Marilla, TM, Anthony, Janet, Steve, Marilla, TM. Anybody else had their hand up? Okay, let's start with Anthony. That was wonderful. It was very impressive, and thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, I want to commend you both for the amount of work you put in and as well for the purpose. I think sometimes forget that it's broadcasting is one thing, but finding out what the audience wants and needs should be the equal the flip side of that. And I don't think that that's getting sufficient attention. So many thanks for doing that work. I wanted to clarify one thing. The survey was entirely online, correct?
Actually, there were eight paper copies that we got in, so there is a listing with each of the answers of the raw data, what came as paper responses and what came electronically. Next year, we'll probably push the electronic harder because trying to get people to fill out the paper one is quite difficult, and both in getting the data in the first place and then in analyzing the data. So the SurveyMonkey, which was recommended by Karen, and she put it online, was really, really helpful. I mean, I thought it was powerful.
And also, when you're online, you're no longer geographically tilted to the areas in the immediate vicinity of the radio station.
Correct.
So I think that's more representative. An idea, I don't know if you want to follow through with this, but it seems to me that the entire southern half of our signal area is being, in a relative sense, neglected. And we had the numbers to see that people aren't subscribing from down that way at the rates they are, in the northern half. So I wonder if you'd considered holding some kind of public event, say, in San Jose, for example, although, of course, it's sort of a chicken or egg situation. You want some listeners to be there already so they'll attend and give it critical mass, but on the other hand, you want it to also be a recruitment tool to get people in the South Bay to listen. And my last question is to turn back at one of your questions. What do you what would it take for you, the CAB, what resources would you like to have to do a broader outreach and therefore get more broad-based analysis of what the station needs to do?
Money, oh, suggesting we ask for money. We have gotten financial support to meet at the Grassroots House, and the Survey Monkey cost us $105. I think it was $105 to have it for 3 months. So we definitely want money to if we continue with the report, if you think it's worth our time. We might need some additional money next year for the electronic version, but it is not that expensive to do it electronically online. The suggestion of going to San Jose, the San Jose area of the South, we have a CAB member from that area. So we do have representation on the CAB, but the idea of going to various places for CAB meetings has been discussed, and we can put it on our agenda for next year as something to do to increase input. Thank you, and San Jose would be definite.
By the way, you two can sit down, you know.
I also
wanted
to, Anthony, I wanted to backtrack on the previous question that you asked, that the paper survey, however minute or voluminous that we've had it before in the past or the present, will always be vital, because some of the events that I've gone to, like Labor and Green Party related events, there's always people that are like Luddites, or they just simply don't have a computer, and some people still, you know, you'll value the paper survey. I was the one that worked on the few that we had.
Janet.
Hi, Marianne. I also wanted to commend you and the whole CAB for
Rich.
Doing this. And
thank you.
Well, for the whole, for the work that you've been doing and for this very impressive report. So I have two questions. One, the Survey Monkey, was that on the KPFA website? Is that how people accessed it? Or
yes.
Where was it? And then I have another question. So you want to answer that
one first?
If I could
answer the Survey Monkey first.
Thank you.
Sorry. The Survey Monkey, initially we just put it up and started, you know, trying to flyer and tell people about it. But there was some carts that were put on the air, and there was at the bottom of the page, there was a link to Survey Monkey, the survey.
What page?
KPFA's main page.
And at one point, when you actually logged on at the top of the page, there was a link. There was a very brief time, maybe it was like a week or two or something like that, and we actually got a pretty good amount during that time as well. So we would, you know, recommend that you do that, you know, in the future as well.
And was that hard to arrange?
Or
easy to arrange?
Yeah. We asked. We followed up. We got, you know, approval to put it there. Miguel has been very helpful with the website. I think it's Miguel that does the website. And so you guys asked for money for us. Thank you. We feel like we, even though we didn't get a budget item, which is irrelevant, we got the approval to spend money if we need to. And we don't want to spend much, but it's nice to know that we can if we need to. So, yeah.
So my second question, and I don't know if you might have said something about it, has to do with the location of the respondents. And did you, what about the peninsula? Were there I'm looking on the online report, and I can't, you know, I'm just scanning
If you go to the question
Burlington.
Number 8
yeah.
In the table of contents, the very last
I see, Burlington,
link.
Belmont. Yeah.
Did you find it?
Yeah. So yeah. You did get people from the peninsula, but maybe there could be more.
Okay. Steve.
Yeah, well, first of all, I think it's a great service, really, to KPFA that you've been able to prepare this report. A lot of labor has gone into it. It's a very well-researched report. And, you know, frankly, if you had to probably outsource it, it would cost, who knows, $100,000, $200,000. So that's what consultants charge. So accolades to you guys. And I think I would ask that it be on the website, you know, so people can get it, the listeners can get it on the website, front page of the website, if they want to find out more about what's happening at KPFA. I think that's important. The other thing is having a public meeting to make a report of it would be good, and audio tape it so that people can hear and comment in, make it interactive, so people who listen to the report can contribute while it's going on. You could have a live stream of the report and back and forth comment, people adding to it, that kind of thing. And last, I mean, I do think that the question of local news is critical. That's something that we at KPFA can provide that other corporate stations can't do. And that would actually strengthen our listenership. And I think we need to think about how we can make that happen at KPFA. Local news bureaus, maybe in the South Bay and the North Bay, that contribute regular stories. That would be one way of doing it. The other thing on the report is, you know, a lot of young people are not listening to radio. That's what's happening. They're watching their mobile device. And we have to think about developing a platform, a multimedia platform that includes streaming of events. Actions, activities, news, that would bring a lot more eyes and viewers to KPFA and Pacifica as a whole. So that may be something that we can investigate further in this report. If people are interested in that, if that would be an added attraction to KPFA, because KPFA is a valuable resource to get live, direct, uncensored information out to people, which is really critical.
Response to that in real quick is thank you very much. I'm trying to write down and retain what you've suggested because that's what we want to discuss next year to do, some of these things you're suggesting, and totally think they're very useful. I personally was looking at podcasts. I don't do podcasts. I am going to move into the next century somehow, or the current century. And do podcasts, but I noted that we don't seem to have a lot of podcasts on the podcast page. So
There's a lot of podcasts.
I might not have known how to get to it because that's the other thing is, you know, with the website, there needs to be a link on the website to make suggestions to the webmaster of how things might be improved because Luddites like me, when I do find out how to do a podcast, I mean how to listen to a podcast, my daughter listens to podcasts all the time in the car from NPR. She's in the East. So, yeah, we need people to know about our podcasts also.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, we've got Marilla, TM, Carol, Sasha, me, Rich, and I think we've got to tighten this up a little bit. So I think we're going to do 1 minute each, and maybe you won't respond to each one, but maybe you will. You can decide that, but Marilla.
Yeah, I completely agree with the tips that or suggestions that Steve was making. I think it's really important to get the local people, and I'm still heartbroken about how little we interact with the university. So I was wondering if there's any history so far of reaching out to the different specific departments on campus. Like we've got Lowell Bergman up now at the journalism department on UC. There might be some professors who would sort of weave this into their courses if they knew, you know, that it was available or that we could somehow tap in, because the students up there are not listening, and it's a cap, you know, 30,000 students up there. They've got to be some that could benefit from this.
And Carol has just suggested maybe there can be some coordination between outreach and CAB to see if some things like that could be done. Great idea. TM?
I'm assuming we can go back and listen to this, because I...
Yes, you can.
Thanks.
Yeah.
This is just always turned on. Say, thanks for a great report. I would like to point out that this is far and away the most colorful report we've ever received.
Just like you, you're very colorful. You look great. You look great.
You know, Craneway, KPFA, Cap Crafter.
Right. You've got the Voices of the Middle East on here twice, by the way.
Got what?
Voices of the Middle East on here twice.
Because it's twice as important,
yeah,
isn't it?
It's just, I only say that so that if you put it on the website. Oh, that's
different
the only
times.
That just,
different times.
I mean, I like the idea that it goes on the website, so just check it.
Right.
Yeah, you may want to just check it when you're going through. And that was exactly what I was going to say, was that what comes to my mind, actually, a lot of us, is that it just kind of brings up on the ground, talking to people who already listen, and it's kind of like the easy next step is how can we use that energy to go talk to people who aren't listening and get them and get their opinion. What would you like to hear? Can we give you a $10 coupon or something at the Craneway Fair to try our station for 2 weeks and then tell us what you would like to hear to come back and listen more? I mean, all those things is that all community radio stations are just, everyone, if they could just clone themselves 5 times, we would have enough people to try and push out there. And the Bay Area is so large, and we have so little contact. This idea of like a news bureau or some kind of thing that ties us in with the rest of the Bay Area.
Okay, that's the time. I think, did you want to say it? No. Richard.
Yeah, just on point of information on this, virtually every program that is not a music show has its own podcast. And I don't think, and they could also be accessed through iTunes. And I don't think that is on the website. It should be on the website. Basically, most of KPFA is podcast at this point, and people just simply don't know it, which is one of the reasons there are fewer podcast-only programs and why Quincy has been very careful about what he's putting in those. But there are all of these other shows you can access via iTunes. You could subscribe, download all of those programs. You know, for instance, I have 2 podcasts and my 2 shows which duplicate those. I mean, everything is available pretty much except music, because of copyright issues. Music has to go off after 2 weeks. Okay?
And anyway,
you guys are aware of that. Huh?
So what we have learned from their report and their reporting is that we have to do this better on the website.
Absolutely. Yep. We need to make it clear on the website. We probably should make it clear through CARTS as well.
And yeah. And Richard, I'm aware that you're a website administrator, so maybe you can help us with that.
I can get direction from management, and I'd be absolutely willing to help on this.
That's great. Thank you.
Sure.
And my question to Marianne is, when is the next CAB meeting? Is there one in January? I know you guys meet at 2022 Blake Street in Berkeley, and maybe members of the LSB might want to attend that meeting, and we can further strategize and meet with the community engagement team or someone from there to connect these different organizations, the CAB, with the outreach, which is very scattered right now, and try and work together to do some of this outreach so we're not all kind of disorganized.
That I'd like to respond to. Thank you, Carol. We will be meeting in January, not in December, the 4th Saturday of every month, a week after you guys. I'm supposed to be reporting monthly to you guys. And hope to improve that, because I'm really getting a sense of connection to the LSB and feel like we can work together and really help. So I want you guys to know that there's a community out there that wants to help you guys on the LSB do your jobs, and we want to do ours, and we're all volunteers. So, yes, please come to one of our CAB meetings. January would be great. We could even lengthen it an hour, maybe, if you came, and we could have really good discussions about possibilities. Thank you.
Great. The last thing I want to say is that this report is so impressive, and also the chart that had the increase in responses after it was on carts on the air is instructive to us. I think that the use of this can grow each year, actually. It can become something where people know that this is a place to go to for expression and so on. And so I think we should all give you a big round of applause, and thanks for all of your work.
Thank you.
I go this way.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Pardon? What time is the meeting?
Oh, 11 to 1.
11 to 1. Okay. We have Saturday, the 27th of January. And now we have one more item before we're going to break for lunch, which is can we agree that the next meeting of the LSB, at which point we will set all of the meetings for next year, is Saturday, January 20th?
No.
No? Oh, okay, on discussion. Tim, is that?
I believe that January 20th is going to be a national day of protest that many people here may be interested in participating in, so I don't think it's the best date for our meeting.
Uh-oh.
I'd like to propose either the women's, that's the.
Well, the 27th is the CAB meeting, but maybe we can have it anyway.
Or the 27th.
And the one before is the, and we have to meet before because of the PNB members. And the weekend before, I think, is a three-day weekend. It's Martin Luther King Jr. weekend. Maybe we could meet the 7th.
What about a Sunday?
We can maybe make it on the 7th. Is that the 6th. That means we won't have, we can have the financial report. We didn't do this time then. It's supposed to be, we've got to elect PNB members. I think the first meeting is I think so. Is that right, Janet? We have to have PNB members before the 20th?
I don't know what the date for the.
Okay. All right. Why do you think the 20th? Okay. All right. We can ponder this over lunch. How's that? And
motion
what time is it?
Who could come on the 6th?
Okay. Who could not come on the 6th? No, this is.
January 6th looks good.
Okay, so we'll finalize it right after lunch. Okay. It is now 1:10. And I say we have 20 minutes. 1:30. Adjourned. Recessed. Recessed. Right. So come on back. Okay.